Hold on to your hats because you're about to go on a heck of a ride.
There's a horn and the charge is underway. Stoves go in. Outriders mount up and there goes the Duke.
I'm Lisa Gunther, Canadian Cattleman Editor, and your host this week for Between the Rows. We're going to meet three women who are redefining what pink collar work looks like. We'll visit Chuckwagon driver Amber LaRue as she gets ready for the season.
I grew up in wagon racing, so it's what I do, but I love the training of it. I love watching these horses go from day one, being chubby and out of shape, come out of winter, shed out, shine up, leg up, and just seeing the confidence build in them as they get stronger.
And we'll talk to two livestock photographers about capturing a cow's good side and staying off her bad side.
Yeah.
There's no close call. We've just eaten dirt.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of time.
Yes. Sometimes you're not quick enough. Just as quick as you think you are, dog.
So back to that reading cattle thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes I got one more shot. No, we don't. No, you don't.
She's done.
But first, here's a word from our sponsors.
No matter how big or small your operation is, every producer could always use a little help. That's why RBC is giving you the chance to win an S540 Bobcat Skid Steer Loader. Make your day just a little more efficient with this versatile piece of equipment. Clear snow, spread manure, or muck out stalls all with the same machine and be able to do more faster. Visit scoreaskidsteer.com/rules for full contest details. Contest closes June 15, 2022.
While attending the cattle auction at the Livestock Market Association of Canada conference a few weeks back, I noticed a woman dressed in a shimmering pink duster. She was photographing the cattle in the ring. There's an ag professional I haven't interviewed yet, I thought to myself. Jill Renton and Daisy Pershekup are livestock photographers with DLMS Cattle Vids. They filled me in on what it takes to shoot cattle and how to avoid getting rolled by irate bovines.
My name is Jill Renton.
I'm Daisy Pershekup.
And are you from Lloydminster area or?
I live south of Calgary, in the foothills.
And I live just by Wasetna, north of Edmonton.
Okay, great. Yeah, so we're at the Livestock LMAC conference, and I've noticed you two capturing photos around the auction mart today. Jill, we'll start with you. How did you get into photography?
I started photography about 15 years ago now, I guess. And I started to go along with graphic work that I did, and then the photography kind of took off. And growing up with cattle, they were an easy subject to start with all the time. So
I started probably about 10 years ago. We started by selling purebred cattle and stuff like that. So I had watched one lady had come and pictured ours one year, and then after that, we just kind of ran with it ourselves. So that's kind of where it started.
So, and one thing I think, like a skill set you maybe need that you don't necessarily need in other photography jobs is being able to read cattle. Is that something? Mm-hmm.
Understanding cattle anatomy is the key, I think. But, and reading cattle helps, but yeah. Understanding their build and type helps a lot in a picture pen.
And is that just so they're set up properly to showcase them best or?
Yeah, to find their best angle.
Okay.
Is what I would say.
So they have a good side.
Yeah. 100%. Find my good side. Yeah. And they also have bad days in the picture pen. But.
And how did you learn that? Like, were you, was it 4-H or just being around livestock or?
I started in 4-H and that's, I mean, cattle judging, like judging confirmation from an early age, I guess you kind of have an idea of what you want as your ideal. And then you're always just positioning so that animal looks the best that it can look.
Yeah.
So it would have started with 4-H and then just personal taste in cattle too, I think.
Yeah, I would say mine probably started more with my family was a little more. And then we got into the 4-H thing and that just kind of helped you at least explain what you were looking for instead of just being like, I like this one, but I'm not sure why. So it helps you with the terminology.
Yeah.
So,
And so it's one thing to kind of photograph show animals or whatever when people can set them up. But this is in the auction where it's a totally different environment. Like, yeah. What's your strategy for trying to get their good side?
On a day like today, it's just what looks best. You just kind of go with it because you're never going to find the perfect shot today. And if you get it, great. That's just an added bonus.
Yeah.
So
it's nice to showcase in the commercial cattle. You want to show as much consistency in the groups as you can. So the larger groups are easier to capture that. And it really promotes the mart and the commercial breeders consigner, as well.
Yeah. Really makes the consigner look like a star.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the basic. You're always working for the customer. So you're trying to make them as much money as you can and make their things look as great as you can.
One thing I kind of always think a little bit about with, because these cattle are coming into the ring and they're a little, especially if they're alone, they're sort of like worked up. Do you sort of think about that, like when you're positioning yourself so you're not, I don't know, spooking them or something? Is that a concern?
My angle, down closer to the ring, I'm noticing that I am
the spook object.
I'm spooking them. I'm very aware that I am the object that's crouching and they don't want to come in. So I've tried to get behind that shield a little bit more each time, but not as easy as you can with a packed house. So
yeah, I know, I'm finding the same thing.
Yeah. Once we find our perches, we just stand and wait.
But. And we're also showcasing, you want to showcase the auctioneer themselves as much as
today. Is more than
the cattle.
So,
which is much worse than cattle.
It's much worse than cattle.
Trying to get them in their mouth as an opener. Like eyes aren't up close. So lots of pictures today.
So is that your strategy in this kind of environment where it's like everything's moving? Fast-paced. It's just like trying to get as many photos as possible. Is that kind of the
you're still aiming for quality. So you're selective of what you're shooting. You want to shoot a little more action, you know, when they're going to start getting more animated with their hands and catching bids and things like that. But it is still a lot more than when you're just picturing one animal by themselves.
Agreed. So tell me, what is it about this job that you love? Like, why do you do it?
I'm in it for the people. I love it. I love the social side. I love talking with other producers. Like, the social side of it for me is great. Like, working with the cattle and stuff is an added bonus. If you get to see good cattle along the way, that's a plus. But I am just in it. I like the beef industry, and it's just, I don't know, that's my side, I guess.
I used to be a wedding photographer full time before I moved to Alberta. I'm originally from the Maritimes, and I came for the cows first, I'm not gonna lie. So this job is about the cows for me, but the social aspect, this industry is a big family.
Yeah, like,
it's
second to none.
Yeah, it's like nobody else. You can't compare it to anybody else.
Even like all the auctioneers, they're great. It's lots of fun.
Yeah,
great group always. And they're all happy to be back together. Yes. So it's even better.
And your job's also quite physical. Like, that's, you know, because you're crouching and you're running up and down those bleacher steps. I don't know. Is there like a fitness training for photographers or something? Like, how do you avoid, I don't know, repetitive strain injuries? Or is that a consideration?
This is a lot easier than what we normally do. Like, when we're normally in a picture pen and you have to climb up panels to get out of bull's ways and stuff.
Escorted over.
This is a lot easier on the body.
Just repeat. Yeah, this isn't so bad. When you're trying to protect a camera and crawl over a stand-up panel is a little bit more labor intensive, we'll call it.
But have you had like close calls photographing bulls?
We've both been mangled.
Yeah. Well, there's no close call. We've just eaten dirt. A whole bunch of times.
Yes. Not quick enough. Just as quick as you think you are, not.
So, goes back to that reading cattle thing. Yeah. But sometimes I got one more shot. No, you don't. No, you don't.
She's done.
Well, and I guess, I mean, just I find, like, because I was copying what you were doing because you're a better photographer than me. And so they're looking at you and they come closer and closer, but we've got a fence between us today, but other days, I guess you may not if you're right in the pen with them, right?
You have to be pretty on your game for that.
So. Yeah.
It's pretty well second nature to us, though, at this point. It's, I think we pay more attention to it than we think we do, because we're just constantly reading the cattle as before they even come in the pen.
Yeah.
So, like, even here, you're looking at them coming in the in gate and seeing, okay, can I sit here or should I back up on these ones? But,
anyway.
What's the sign from a ornery cow that you need to move now that you look for?
Honestly, like their posture, as soon as they come in, you're just, or like I look at eyes is my like giveaway and telltale, and you're like, just get out of the pen. Everyone's out. We're just letting her have her minute. Yeah. But yeah, eyes and ears, 100%.
Yeah.
You can just see that body language when they come in and you're like, nope, everyone's a little tense.
That was Daisy Pershekup and Jill Renton of CattleVids DLMS. You're listening to Between the Rows, and I'm your host this week, Lisa Gunther.
There's the horn and a pretty good start off of barrel.
COVID put a lot of things on hold 2 years ago, including chuck wagon racing. After the 2020 season was canceled, Amber LaRue was champing at the bit to get back on the track. But an injury last spring left her on the benches for the 2021 season too. There's two things that I want you to know about Amber. One, she has to exercise three chuck wagon teams, that's 16 horses. And two, she's the only woman holding the reins in professional chuck wagon racing. I caught up with her earlier this month as she was truck training her horses to find out what motivates her to harness a team of high octane race horses and how she's carrying on despite a recent loss.
Okay, introduce your horse.
This is Maddie. Or Big Mad. He is one of my leaders. He drives on left lead. And he's a gentleman, mine is right now. He's a big sweetheart.
Are you ready to truck train, buddy?
Here, Brock, I'll let you take these two out, please. Maddie on the left, Dreamer on the right, Brock.
So how do you get them used to like truck training? Like so that when they're hard, because they're hard tied, I guess, right? Like how do they go along with it pretty good or?
They usually go along with it really well, but for the most part, it's just taking everything loose.
Okay.
Once they figure out that this is how they get to train and it's low impact and all they have to do is jog alongside a truck to get their endurance in, they're usually super pumped about it.
I guess it's not that much different from like leading them off a quad or something, hey?
I think this is a lot safer.
Yeah, probably. Oh, so one thing I was gonna ask you about, I think you're the only female chuck wagon driver in the CPCA.
Yes.
Correct? And has there been anyone before you?
No. And there's never been a female drive in the WPCA either.
So. That's pretty big.
Yeah. It's weird for me because my whole life, this is all I've ever wanted to do. And I didn't really think about it until we kind of sat down with the marketing crew in 2018 fall and started talking about what our edge was going to be going forward marketing wise to be competitive for sponsors. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess no one has, you know, like I've just always competed with the boys and never really thought too much of it, but it is a huge crowd draw that I am the only female out there competing.
Yeah. So how did you, like, tell me a little bit, I kind of know a little bit of your history, but like, how did you get into it?
So I am third generation on my mom's side and second generation for my dad. my grandfather raced thoroughbred chariots in what at the time would have been the Northern Chuck Wagon Association. And my mom also drove thoroughbred chariots growing up. And her and my dad got together. And my dad had drove for 50 consecutive years. And my mom drove chariots for I don't know how many years. So growing up, I would have been 3 months old when we started going down the road racing ponies. And that's all I virtually know in my entire life. The last 2 years not racing between COVID and injury last year have been quite odd and went through a lot of, won't dive into this, but last year was a hard year because I wasn't racing and everybody else was. COVID year was one thing when mostly everybody else was sitting on the back burner, but last year having a fractured foot and sitting on the sidelines, something that I didn't have much say in, was pretty hard because it was like grieving the loss of my race season, which may sound silly for a lot of people, but that's virtually what it was grieving the loss of a race season. So it was a lot to go through.
Yeah, I think that would be tough, especially right at following like that year of COVID where, you know.
It's weird because this is all I've known my entire life, and I kind of sat back and like, it hit me that one day I am going to retire from driving, and it's like, who am I outside of this that I really had to discover? So coming back this year, I'm a much different, I don't want to say I'm a different person, I still am the driver I am and goal orientated, but I've had a summer where I wasn't racing and I wasn't Amber LaRue the truck wagon driver, I was Amber LaRue the 28-year-old at the time. Just living life. So I got to dig into some stuff that I needed to, and I'm coming back mentally a lot more stronger. So that's pretty neat.
So like, I'm just trying to imagine the steps growing up to becoming eventually like a driver, because it's a very, there's a lot to know and it's like high risk, right? So how did your parents teach you, like how did you learn this?
I was in and around it. There's a picture of me where I can't probably be more than like 7, 8 years old in the wagon box taping in lines for dad. Now it's a little frowned upon to have kids in wagons, but growing up around the ponies, dad would let me drive in the infield after the race, because where big wagons you go right off the track, ponies we had to go back into the infield most of the time. So I would drive in the infield after the races once the horses were cooling down, and as soon as I was big enough, like, I moved in with dad when I was 13, so since the spring of being 13, 14, I've been the one doing most of the training for these guys, and as for harnessing and driving, it's just been kind of second nature, because you grew up right in it, and you learn, you know, I wanted to be hands-on, it's what I wanted to do, so I learned everything I possibly could, and drove as many outfits as I could in a day to get where I am.
So, like, why do you do this? What drives you to do this?
This part of it. I love the horses, and I grew up in wagon racing, so it's what I do, but I love the training of it. I love watching these horses go from day one, being chubby and out of shape, come out of winter, shed out, shine up, leg up, and just seeing the confidence build in them as they get stronger. And not only that, driving wise, you take a horse like little C, who right now is like scared of his shadow coming out of the barn, and by Lloyd Finals in the fall in 2019, I really watched him develop as a horse, and it's unfortunate that he's had 2 years off, because now he's kind of back to being a little bit scared of his shadow. But by Lloyd Finals that year, he was so ecstatic about life. He was ready to take anything on after driving and racing in front of that grandstand. And seeing a horse develop in 3 months like that is pretty unique, to just see their personality change as they get more confident and brave, all because of your training and how you handle them and treat them. That part I love.
So, like, what are your goals this season?
I want to be in the top 15, and my biggest goal is to get an invite to the Calgary Stampede.
Wagon race in the home stretch drive. Calgary, it's your turn to come alive. Logan Gorst on the alongside Vern Nolan Denton's Canada. Court is in session, and here comes the Duke of Newberry, Kurt Benjamin.
But that is my goal. I want to drive in front of that grandstand. It's really crappy because my dad died March 1st, but in 2001, when Vern and Shane Nolan was their first year, their dad really looked up to those boys. We raced ponies together, and he saw them grow up. And when they made Calgary, Dad made the point that summer to take a weekend off racing, and we drove down to Calgary. And I remember standing on the tarmac with my dad and just taking it all in. And yeah, it's unfortunate that Dad's not going to see me there one day, but that's where I want to be, and that's what I want to do.
Just tell me a little bit about your dad.
Oh, my dad loved animals. Didn't matter whether it was a horse, a cow, a chicken, and he raised me and my siblings with the concept that animals always come first. And he had a passion for wagon racing like no other, and raised me under the belief that you didn't have to buy the best horse, and a horse that you picked up didn't always have to be the prettiest, because you could make them into anything you wanted them to be if you put the time and effort in. And a lot of the times racing ponies, and the outfit that I was most competitive with, the left leader was a runaway for everybody else. The right leader, when we got her, she fit a 24-inch collar and she was a running pony. And by the she was borderline foundered when we got her. And we got her in shape. And when she was racing, to put things in perspective, she wore an 18-inch collar. So she was that much overweight. She had a hump in her neck. So we got her going. The right wheeler we had bought for $250 as a baby and took a chance on. He had measured out. It's racing ponies, you have to measure them in. And the left wheeler over on the reserve one winter, she was starving to death as a four-year-old. And we had picked her up. So my best outfit running ponies was four horses that were everybody else's misfits. And not that every one of the thoroughbreds standing in my barn were somebody else's misfits, but they all got there for a reason. And yeah, I have never been known for buying the most expensive horses on the track, but I have been known for having some of the prettiest. And in turn, I pick up a lot of horses that I see something in that a lot of people may not see anything in, and take a chance on them. And that's definitely something I got from my dad, because when Dad brought home that mare that was almost starved to death that winter, and you couldn't even brush her, she was so scared of people. I wasn't very old. I want to say I was 13 or 14 years old, and I was like, Dad, I don't even think that mare is going to make the winter. And he's like, yes, she will, as long as you take care of her. And we could barely get a halter on her, and I was like, what are we doing? And he's like, if you get that mare to the point where she can race, she will give you her heart in return. And that she did. That mare pulled the wagon every night with everything she had. Told myself I wasn't gonna cry.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah. Gonna
cry. It's gonna be a very emotional season. I might as well. Yeah.
Just embrace it.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be following Amber and her horses, Team Pink, throughout the summer. Team Pink will run their first races at Poundmaker, Saskatchewan on June 15th to 19th. Go Amber! I'm Lisa Gunther, your host this week and editor of Canadian Cattlemen. Thanks for listening. It's been a blast.
No matter how big or small your operation is, every producer could always use a little help. That's why RBC is giving you the chance to win an S540 Bobcat Skid Steer Loader. Make your day just a little more efficient with this versatile piece of equipment. Clear snow, spread manure, or muck out stalls all with the same machine and be able to do more faster. Visit scoreaskidsteer.com/rules for full contest details. Contest closes June 15, 2022.